कलिम् आगतमाज्ञाय क्षेत्रेऽस्मिन् वैष्णवे वयम् आसीना दीर्घसत्रेण कथायाम् सक्षणा हरे. सो इन द फर्स्ट कैंट ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम द सेजेस ऑफ नैमिषारण्य दे एक्सप्लेन टू श्रील सूत्र गोस्वामी कलिम आगतम आज्ञाय क्षेत्रेस्मिन. कलियुग हैज नाउ कम एंड बाय द इन्फ्लुएंस ऑफ कलियुग ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज विल डिमिनिश. कलिम आगतम आज्ञाय क्षेत्रे अस्मिन. सो दे हैव ऑल असेंबल्ड एट नैमिषारण्य. क्षेत्रेस्मिन वैष्णवे वयम आसीना. So all of us have assembled on this, in this most auspicious location, Naimisharanya, to hear this Harikatha. Asina Dirghasatrena. And this Katha is going to proceed for a very long period of time. And we are ready to hear this. Asina Dirghasatrena Kathayam Sakshana. Sakshana means we have come here with time at our disposal. Sakshana Hare. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that in Kali Yuga, the only yajna which is effective is the process of hearing and chanting. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Harikatha, discussing the pastimes of the Lord and chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. This is the recommended process for this age of Kali, as given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, I give the example that in previous yugas, the process for emancipation was very difficult. Performing austerities for millions of years, fasting for thousands of years, sitting in one posture for hundreds and thousands of years, which is practically impossible in this age. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a very simple process, a very sublime process, chanting Hare Krishna. Just like I give the example that when people play cricket, test match, so it's in a big ground. So test match is played in a big, huge field, like Lord's or some other big ground. But that is when the test players play this match. If small children play cricket and they are brought in this huge big field, it will be impossible for them to even bowl across the pitch. Because small child, how much strength he has. Even if he bowls, it will only go till half the pitch and stop. The other child is standing on the other end, he won't receive the ball also. And if he is told that this is the ground you have to play in, and the boundary is at such a distance, he can't even see. So therefore, small child cannot play in such a big ground. Therefore, when small children play cricket, then the boundary is reduced and it is brought inside. The pitch is made smaller and instead of the regular ball, they play with plastic ball. So the whole game becomes very simple, very easy. And if you see small children playing, they are in their own world, in their small game with plastic bat and plastic ball, and they are thinking that they are doing it. Things become so simple. So similarly in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made things very simple for all of us. The game is very simplified. Previous yugas, all test players. But now in this age, small children with plastic ball just chant Hare Krishna. And after chanting Hare Krishna, you become tired, take prasad. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made everything very, very simple. Therefore, This is what is expected, that we come together, hear and chant the glories of the Lord, participate in festivals. Like tomorrow there is going to be Ram Navami celebrations. There will be Abhishek, Arati, Kirtan, Katha. Simply by participating in these festivals, one makes tremendous spiritual advancement. And gradually, one finds his way back home, back to Godhead. All he has to do is just be in the right association. Just like if you ever come to Bombay or Mumbai in India, the local trains are very crowded, highly crowded. If you want a body massage, you can be in one of those trains. You don't have to do much. Just be there and you'll be crushed from all sides. So if you have to get down at a station, you do not have to make much attempt. You just have to stand near the door. And as soon as you stand there and the station comes, you are pushed from within, outside. Similarly, if you are standing outside and you have to enter into the train, you just place yourself near the door and the crowd from behind will push you in. So similarly, in Kali Yuga, individually we are very weak. But if we come in the right association, simply by being present in that association, we will be pushed in the right direction. So if you visit the temple regularly and be with devotees, then simply by the power and the mercy of devotees, one will be pulled towards Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada makes a very beautiful statement. The process of Krishna consciousness is so powerful that one will be forcibly dragged to success. That means, even if one does not want, but if he is just there with the right devotees, he will be forcibly dragged. Once you have made the choice of being with devotees, you will be forcibly dragged to success. Therefore, it is very important to associate with devotees. And in the association of devotees, one engages in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, the glories of Lord Ram. And we have been discussing last 2 days from the Balakand and Ayodhya Kand, Lord Ramchandra's birth. And we came to the stage where Lord Ram, he agrees to go to the forest, instructed by his father Dasharath. At this stage, Bharat is away at his maternal grandfather's house in the Pradesh of Kekaya, which is in modern day Russia. Because of separation from his son, Maharaj Dasharath leaves his body. And so all the sages decide to call Maharaj Bharat so that he can be installed as the king. So messengers are sent, and these messengers travel at full speed, and they reach the province of Kekaya and give the message to Bharat. You are immediately invited by Vasishtha Rishi and all the great sages to come back to Ayodhya. So Maharaj Bharat inquires, what is the purpose? And they say, we do not know, but it's an emergency. Immediately Maharaj Bharat proceeds the next morning, travels for 7 continuous days and reaches Ayodhya. As soon as he enters Ayodhya, he finds the entire city very grief-stricken and desolate. He could see ominous signs by which he could understand definitely there has been the death of a family member, and it could be my father Dasharath. As he is thinking like this, he enters into the palace of Maharaj Dasharath and finds the palace completely empty. He goes to his father's room. He is not there. His suspicion grows. He goes to his mother, falls at her feet. Kaikeyi is ecstatic to find her son back, because ultimately it was her plan to reinstate him as the king. She embraces him, places him upon her lap, and Bharat Maharaj inquires, where is father? Where is Dasharatha Maharaj? And Kaikeyi replies, she says, your father has left his body. And as soon as she says this, Bharat Maharaj is filled with grief. He breaks down and starts crying. And Kaikeyi, she tries to pacify him and says that you should be asthita pragya, you should be unaffected, and you should remain equipoised in happiness and distress, pain and pleasure. Bharat Maharaj cries out, where is my brother Ram? Please inform him that I have come back. And Kaikeyi says, my dear son, your brother Ram, Sita and Lakshman have been exiled to the forest by Maharaj Dasharath. And in the absence of his son, because of intense separation from his son, Dasharath Maharaj could not hold on to his life heirs and left his body, crying out, O Ram, O Sita, O Lakshman. So Bharat Maharaj was intrigued. Looked at his mother and said, my dear mother, what was the reason that he was exiled? Because generally, previous ages, someone would be exiled only for committing the most abominable sin, like killing a Brahmin. So Bharat Maharaj thought, did Ram commit such a sin? And Kaikeyi very proudly replied, my dear son, you do not know. Your father Maharaj Dasharath developed a desire to install Ram as the king in your absence. And this would mean that Kaushalya would become all powerful and I would have to become the maid servant. And in order to prevent this, I took the opportunity to claim two of the promises which Maharaj Dasharath had made to me. First was, I requested that Bharat Maharaj should be installed as the king, so that you could become the king. And second, I requested for Ram to be sent to the forest in exile. And now, you are secure. You immediately take over and become the king. All the ceremonies for installation are going to be done tomorrow. All the priests are ready. We were just waiting for you to return. As soon as Bharat Maharaj hears this, he screams at his mother and says, O wicked lady, you are a personification of Kali. How could you ever imagine that I would become the king at the expense of banishing Ram to the forest? It is practically impossible for me to accept this throne. In fact, if Ram has gone to the forest, I will also follow in his footsteps and I will also go to the forest. It is extremely sad to know that you have such a desire. How could you imagine that I would accept this throne? You are so sinful, you are so wicked, you are so cruel-hearted. Could you not imagine the pain Kaushalya would go through? I feel extremely sad that I have a mother like you. In fact, from this day onwards, I would not continue to have a relationship with you as son. And Bharat Maharaj chastised his mother with very heavy words. So Kaikeyi, she was extremely depressed because it was her plan that Bharat should become the king. But Bharat was in no mood to accept this. So after rebuking his mother, Bharat Maharaj then immediately proceeds to meet Kaushalya. At this stage, he still is not very sure about Lord Ramachandra's whereabouts. Kaushalya comes up and explains to Maharaj Bharat that, so Bharat, now all your plans will be fulfilled. So you feel pacified, you feel peaceful. This is what you wanted. So very soon you will become the king and all of your desires will be fulfilled. And Bharat Maharaj felt extremely sad and he said, my dear mother, please do not speak like this. All this was done in my ignorance. This was not my desire. It was Kaikeyi's desire. And she never consulted me. If I was present, I would have never allowed this to happen. Please do not misunderstand me. So at this stage, the great sages led by Vasishtha, they approached Bharat Maharaj and said, it is time for performing the funeral ceremony of Dasharatha Maharaj. So with a very heavy heart, Bharat Maharaj performed the last rites. And after performing the last rites of Dasharatha, he and Shatrughna were feeling extremely remorseful. And at that time, one of the ministers caught hold of Mantara and brought her in front of Shatrughna and said, this is that wicked lady who is responsible for all this trauma. And as soon as Shatrughna sees Mantara, he catches hold of Mantara and starts beating her. But Bharat Maharaj intervenes and says, she is a woman and you must not behave with her like this. Ultimately, what is done. But now let us see how we can change this situation. Bharat Maharaj called his intimate ministers and said, I am in no mood to take over this kingdom. I am not going to accept this throne. I am hereby renouncing all of my royal garments and putting on dress of deer skin and bark. And he accepted very simple clothes. And he said, make arrangements to proceed to the forest immediately. We will go and invite Lord Ramachandra back to become the king. And as soon as the news spread in all directions, everyone became joyful. They started making elaborate arrangements for creating very fantastic highways. The roads were leveled, the trees were felled, beautiful gardens were created next to these roads. The dams were built by which various lakes were created, so that Bharat Maharaj and his entourage could enter into the forest to invite Lord Ram back. This is the mood of Bharat Maharaj as the eternal servant of Lord Ram. He said, it is impossible for me to become the king. The king's position is meant for Lord Ram. I am an eternal servant of Lord Ram. A servant can never take the position of his master. And therefore, please arrange for me to go and invite the master back to take his position. And this is the essence of Vaishnava philosophy. Krishna says in Gita, natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa, that the soul is eternally an individual particle, part and parcel of Krishna. The Mayavad concept is that the soul can initially be a servant, but then ultimately becomes equal to God. And therefore, the Mayavad concept is totally against Vaishnava concept. The Mayavad concept is, we can ultimately become God. And therefore, these are the four types of atheism. The first is, God does not exist. Second type of atheism is, God exists, but after creating this world, he became so confused, he retired. The third kind of atheism is that God exists and he may come in front of me, but I will kill God. And the fourth kind of atheism is, why discuss so much about God? I am God. So that is the fourth concept. And this is the most prevalent concept, that I am God and we can become God. So therefore, this tendency goes against the principle of eternal servitude. And this concept is very, very difficult to develop because we are all used to the concept of being the enjoyer. So even if we make a show of service in any field, in any situation within this world, it is ultimately with a desire to gain control, to gain position and power, so that we can enjoy. Whether it's in a job outside, it's doing business outside, or even in the field of spirituality, 99.9% of all spiritualists are tinged with Mayavad. And even in Vaishnavism, at the neophyte stages, we are all tinged with this concept. Therefore, the whole concept of serving eternally, the whole concept of being an eternal servant, is practically impossible to comprehend. One may think, okay, I'm joining a job and as a trainee. But if you are told during your interview, you will remain a trainee eternally. Throughout your 30 years job, you will be a trainee. Welcome. This is the appointment letter. You will never accept it. Because people feel, I will stagnate. What is the growth opportunity? So when it comes to relationship with Krishna, the soul asks Krishna, so what is my growth opportunity? And Krishna says, eternal servant. Just serve me. And then continue serving. And then serve eternally in the spiritual world. And this is very difficult to comprehend. So generally one goes through the whole process of education system and all of this with the desire to become master. So one may make a show of being humble in front of his teachers and professors, in front of his bosses in office and job, but that is not with the desire to become their servant. One has the desire, when I will take control and be the master. And here we have a scenario where Bharat has been given the entire facility to become the master, to take over the position of the master, to become the king. And he never had to do anything. Everything was done and orchestrated by his mother Kaikeyi, even without his knowledge. And all Bharat had to do was come and just accept the position and say, okay, situation has been created, it's all the God's will, let me become the king. But he is not accepting this because he is a great devotee of Lord Ram. And a devotee can never take the position of master or God. He always takes the position of being servant. Like Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that when he first took to Krishna consciousness and he wrote a letter to his father, and in the letter, in the end, he signed, your servant, you know, so and so. And his father wrote back that we put you in school and gave you all this education ultimately to become servant. You know, why you are signing yourself servant? This is very demeaning. This is not correct. And in the next letter he wrote back saying, actually the goal of our life is not to become servant. It is to become servant of the servant. And he became even more bewildered. So this whole concept of being servant or the servant of the servant is impossible to comprehend unless one is at the highest stages of devotional service. So Bharat Maharaj is demonstrating service attitude. Service attitude means no other desire but to remain a servant. He is demonstrating compassion, feelings of compassion for Kaushalya, feelings of compassion for other residents of Ayodhya. At the same time, he is also demonstrating a sense of responsibility. He is willing to take responsibility for the acts done by his mother, and he is willing to go to the forest and spend time and be there for 14 years instead of Lord Ram. So he is not just saying things cheaply. He is willing to act based on this. And he has absolutely no desire for position, power and prestige. These are the three P's which can take you to hell. Position, power and prestige. These desires will ultimately make a person act in various devious ways. As opposed to this, Bharat Maharaj is demonstrating a sense of service. sense control, and surrender. And these three elevate one to the stage of the spiritual world. And hence, this entire pastime of Bharat Maharaj demonstrating these qualities is a punch against Mayavad philosophy. Because Mayavad means working in such a way that ultimately one becomes equal to God. And through this pastime, Bharat Maharaj is demonstrating that the ultimate satisfaction of the soul is not in grabbing power, not in grabbing position, not in grabbing or taking over the position of God, but to become humble servant of the servant of God. Once there was a Mayavadi who came to meet Srila Prabhupada. This was in Chennai, in Madras. And he was a pakka Mayavadi who believed that you can become God. And he was referring to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And he was quoting to Srila Prabhupada, finding fault with Prabhupada's Gita, saying, Swamiji, in this sixth chapter, there is no mention of chanting Hare Krishna in the purport, but you are saying that one must chant Hare Krishna? The shloka doesn't say anything about Krishna. It just mentions yoga. It just mentions yogi. You are saying bhakti yogi. It just says dhyan, and you are saying dhyan means meditation on Krishna. So Prabhupada said, is it? Okay. Which other verse says this? So then he showed another verse. In this verse, Swamiji, there is no mention of Krishna. And you are again mentioning Krishna. And in the purport, again there is chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, any other chapter? Said, in seventh chapter, you see this verse, Swamiji, there is no Krishna here, you are mentioning Krishna. Eighth chapter, there is no Krishna here, there is Krishna here. And all through the 18 chapters, for 1 hour, he was just pointing out where there is no mention of Krishna in the shloka, but Prabhupada has introduced Krishna. And he felt that this was a big discrepancy. And the devotees were thinking, why Srila Prabhupada is tolerating this Mayavadi so much? That is quite against the regular tendency. Because whenever Prabhupada would see a Mayavadi, he would pounce on him and punch immediately and not allow him to speak. And after some time, Prabhupada said, distribute prasad. And this Mayavadi left. And the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, why were you encouraging this discussion, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, this man was again and again chanting the names of Krishna. For 1 hour he chanted Hare Krishna. So I felt that if he just chants the name of Krishna for 1 hour, he'll become sufficiently purified that next visit he'll be able to understand what I say. Because this Mayavad is such a big contamination, one feels so confident that he is God that he will not be willing to accept anything. In fact, in one of the ISKCON temples in USA, a hippie entered and he looked at the deities and he was so convinced that he himself is God. He told the devotees, I'm very pleased with the way you are worshipping me in this temple. Very good. Continue like this. Supremely confident that yes, I am God. So therefore, Bharat Maharaj has been provided all the facilities to enjoy, to take over, to take the position of Lord Ram. That position which so many jnanis, so many philosophers, so many yogis are aspiring for by performing severe austerities for millions and millions of lives. And that position has been created overnight by his own mother. Just take over Ram's position. But Bharat Maharaj is saying, no, that will not be appropriate. It is impossible. It is unthinkable. In fact, I am willing to renounce everything else and bring Lord Ramachandra back and place him on this throne. That will satisfy me completely. So real satisfaction comes by giving pleasure to Ram. by reinstating the Supreme Lord in His original glory, by celebrating wonderful festival, glorifying the Lord, we feel real pleasure. And that is why the whole world is filled with dissatisfied souls, because each one is trying to enjoy independent of God. And this pastime is very, very important in this regard. So Bharat Maharaj ultimately proceeds with 60,000 chariots, 1 lakh cavalry, and hundreds and thousands of elephants. And with this huge army, he enters into the forest to invite Lord Ram back to Ayodhya. As they proceed, they arrive at the ashram of Guha. And Guha, he feels suspicious. Why Bharat is coming with such a big army? And he asks Bharat Maharaj, what is the purpose of this huge army? Are your intentions all right? And Bharat Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, says, do you think I can enjoy this kingdom without Lord Ram? Do you doubt my integrity? Do you doubt my intentions? I have just come to invite Lord Ram back to Ayodhya. Please tell me, what are Lord Ramachandra's whereabouts? And Guha said, I was just testing you. You proceed ahead. There is the ashram of Bharadwaj Rishi. You will meet Rishi Bharadwaj and he will tell you further directions. So along with his huge army, Bharat Maharaj proceeds. And along with him, Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, Sumitra, all of them are there. They reach the ashram of Bharadwaj Rishi. And Bharadwaj Rishi also asks the same question to Bharat Maharaj. So, you have come with this huge army. What are your intentions? And again, he has to give an explanation. And he says, Maharaj, I just want to serve Lord Ram. I just want to be his humble servant. I want to invite him back to Ayodhya. Please tell me, where can I find him? And Bharadwaj Rishi says, I knew your intentions by the power of my mystic yoga, but still, I was just trying to test you. Proceed ahead to Chitrakoot. And in the scenic surroundings of Chitrakoot, Lord Ramachandra is staying along with his beautiful wife Sita and brother Lakshman. You can go and meet them there. Take their darshan. Bharat Maharaj is very pleased. And Bharadwaj Rishi, with his mystic power, he provides facility for the entire army to stay for the night. For millions and millions of soldiers, he creates various wonderful palaces, beautiful, very fantastic surroundings, all kinds of maid servants. He creates a river of sweet rice, simply to satisfy all of these soldiers. And all of these soldiers are perfectly satisfied. That is the power of great souls, great rishis of bygone era. And the next morning, Bharat Maharaj proceeds, and this whole army, as they approach Chitrakoot, Lord Ram, Sita and Lakshman, they are on top of a mountain at Chitrakoot. And Lord Ram can see from a distance the dust raised by the hooves of horses. And he calls out to Lakshman and says, my dear Lakshman, just climb the top of the tree and see which army is approaching. Lakshman climbs the top of the tree and says, my dear Lord, I can see a huge army approaching. And Lord Ram says, is it our father, Dasharatha Maharaj? Lakshman looks at the distance again and says, I do not see the flag of Dasharatha, but I can see the flag of Bharat. My dear Lord, Bharat is coming to kill us. Bharat is coming to destroy us. Bharat is coming to take over his position. We must do something to kill him immediately. Give me the bow, give me the arrow, let me kill Bharat immediately. And Lord Ram, he looks up at Lakshman and says, without even talking anything, how can you jump to such conclusions? If you want to take over and become the king, you can kill Bharat. But as far as I am concerned, I am convinced that Bharat is coming simply to invite me back to Ayodhya. I do not doubt his intentions at all. So this is the nature of this material world, that many times, without proper communication, we have certain preconceived notions and we jump to conclusions regarding other people's motives and intentions. And sometimes we may act hastily, we may judge others, and we may act and speak in ways by which ultimately relationships are destroyed. Therefore, it is very important to act with patience. Be very sober and do not jump to conclusions before things are absolutely clear. And therefore, Lord Ram was showing by his own example how he was so dhairyavan or patient. So Lakshman got down and then they waited for Bharat and others to arrive. So Bharat Maharaj got down from his chariot, ran towards the lotus feet of Lord Ram, fell at his feet, and he was crying piteously. Lord Ram picked him up and embraced him and said, "My dear Bharat, I am so happy to see you." And the first thing Bharat said was, "My dear Lord, I have just come here to invite you back to Ayodhya. The citizens of Ayodhya are dying in separation from you." And Lord Ram said, "I have been instructed by my father to stay here for 14 years and I cannot disobey the instruction of my father." And Bharat said, "My dear Lord, when the father himself has left his body, it is the duty of the eldest son to come and take over the throne." And this is the first time Lord Ram hears about the demise of Dasharatha. And as soon as he hears this, he breaks down and cries uncontrollably. And both Ram and Bharat embrace each other with great love. This is the feeling of the Lord for his devotee. And this is the reciprocation of love between pure, unalloyed devotee and the Supreme Lord. Bharat is requesting Ram to return back. And Ram is again and again quoting, "No, it is the instruction of my father, I have to obey him." And then finally, this argument goes back and forth. Various arguments Bharat Maharaj gives why Ram should come back. And Ram also gives various arguments why he cannot come back. And then at a certain stage, there is another rishi whose name is Jabali. And this Jabali rishi sees that with all bona fide arguments, Ram is not agreeing. So he decides to give an alternative viewpoint, you know, lateral thinking. So he said, "My dear Ram, ultimately what is this life? What is this body? It is simply made of chemicals. And ultimately everything is going to be destroyed. Life is temporary. So here you have a chance to enjoy the kingdom, take over the throne, enjoy for a few years, and then everything will be finished to dust. So therefore it is my request that you come and enjoy the opulences of Ayodhya, and what to speak of father and this and that, it is simply a lump of chemicals." So this chemical theory is not new. It is existing from the time of Ramayana. Various kinds of atheistic philosophies ultimately meant for enjoyment. And so when Srila Prabhupada was in Vishakhapatnam, he met an archaeologist. And this archaeologist was very proud of his field. And he met Srila Prabhupada. And someone introduced him, "Srila Prabhupada, this is an archaeologist, Mr. So and so." So this archaeologist told Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked him, "So what do you do?" He said, "I am an archaeologist. I study primitive people." And he asked Srila Prabhupada, "What do you do?" And Prabhupada said, "I am a devotee. I study advanced people." And he looked at the archaeologist and said, "What is the use of studying primitive people? What can you learn from them?" So basically, to think that all of these theories, that there was chemicals and this and this, and gradually there was evolution and all, is something which has been concocted. But these similar kind of theories have always been existing from the beginning of creation. Because as soon as you take away the concept of God, it is easy for one to enjoy without feeling any guilt. So many times, Srila Prabhupada would be approached with Darwin's philosophy. And Prabhupada would say, okay, he says, man came from monkey. Maybe he came from monkey. But as far as we are concerned, our forefathers were Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, and all these great Mahajans. And therefore, in Jagannath Puri temple, if you have to enter, at the door, the Pandas, they ask you, what is your Gotra? You have experienced this when you go to Jagannath temple. They are standing there and they ask, what is your Gotra? So different Gotras you say. So our Dhrutakarma Prabhu was saying that if any Darwinists go there and they are asked, what is your Gotra? They should say, Vanar Gotra. If they are really honest. Because according to their philosophy, they have come from there. So if they don't accept this, this is what they should say. So Jabali Rishi was a propounder of this philosophy. And he said, somehow or the other, Ram should come back. They were so desperate that they were willing to use even atheistic philosophies to convince Ram to come and take over Ayodhya. And then Ramachandra became very furious with this philosophy. And he chastised Jabali Rishi like anything. And then Vasishtha Muni said, my dear Lord, ultimately the principle is that the eldest son must become the king. And that has always been the principle. So please come. The citizens love you so much. You are like the father. Give them a chance to serve you. And please act as the perfect Maryada Purushottam king. But Lord Ram was determined. And he said, there is no way I can come back. Whatever may be the case, I am going to stay here in the forest for 14 years and only then return back. So when they realized that Lord Ram is not going to turn back, Bharat, he took out two wooden sandals which were inlaid with gold. Placed these two beautiful sandals in front of Lord Ram and begged at the lotus feet of Lord Ram, place your divine feet on these sandals, my dear Lord. I am going to place these two sandals on the throne at Ayodhya. You will be ruling Ayodhya for next 14 years. And I will simply be your humble servant. I will simply take instructions from the great sages and rishis and do the needful, remembering your lotus feet. I will not accept any of the royal opulences. And I will just stay on the outskirts of Ayodhya in a place called Nandigram. And accepting tree bark clothes and drinking very, very simple soup. He just survived for the next 14 years, remembering his divine worshipable Lord Shri Ram. Bharat Maharaj's character is one of ultimate dedication, surrender and service. And this was the mood which Lord Chaitanya has given. Gopir Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanudas. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj is demonstrating the ultimate attitude one must have. Having all the facilities to enjoy, but still not enjoying. Because he understands real enjoyment comes in service. Real enjoyment comes in sacrifice. Real enjoyment comes in surrendering to the will of the Lord. And that is the ultimate satisfaction for the soul. That is the ultimate sense gratification for all the spiritual senses of the soul. And in this way, Bharat Maharaj places that sandal in front of Lord Ram. Lord Ram places his beautiful, divine, transcendental lotus feet upon these two sandals, these two paduka, and then takes them away. Bharat Maharaj picks these two transcendentally powerful footwear, places them upon his head, takes leave of Lord Ram, and then proceeds back to Ayodhya. And he performs all the duties as the perfect minister or servant of the king in the absence of Lord Ram, counting the days and the years when Lord Ram would come back and take control and become the king of Ayodhya again. This is the most wonderful character of Bharat Maharaj. And this is how a servant should behave. So when we are in Vaishnava society, all of us are trying to become servant of devotees. And therefore, this is the perfect example, that while engaged in service, we are also provided with facilities by which we can gradually get more and more chance for enjoyment. But a devotee is not interested in this. He begins his devotional service career with a service attitude, and as he spends his time in the Krishna consciousness movement, his service attitude goes on increasing. His mood of service and sacrifice goes on increasing. And there is a beautiful example of one of Srila Prabhupada's very illustrious disciples, His Grace Jayananda Prabhu. He is one of the legends in the Hare Krishna movement. And he was totally dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. He would drive Srila Prabhupada around. And he was fully conscious of the fact that he is a servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, he was so enthusiastic in all the services, from driving to cleaning. And his favorite service was picking up garbage. Many times new people, they would enter the temple and they would see this Jayananda Prabhu picking up garbage. And he would be so blissful picking up garbage, and they would wonder, if the garbage cleaner in this movement is so blissful, what to speak of the man who's inside and who's worshipping the deity and is taking care of the temple? How much more blissful he will be. And they would join just by seeing his character. And in fact, he had such a mood of compassion that when he would travel in bus, they would go on a bus party, Sankirtan bus party. So many times they would stop on the side of the road. And he would go near an apple tree, take out Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and take Krishna's picture, and then offer the whole tree to the picture, so that all the apples on the tree become prasad. So anyone who picks that apple anytime in future would receive prasad. So that was his unique way of food for life, creating facility by which all of these fruit trees would become prasadam. And in fact, for his own personal use, he would never wear proper clothes. For years together, he never bought a new set of clothes. And he was just wearing very torn clothes. So his t-shirt became so torn that other devotees just requested him, begged him, pleaded with him, if not for you, just for the sake of the movement, buy a good pair of clothes. So he went to a shop, and the shopkeeper showed him saffron t-shirt. And he said, okay, give me this. He took it. And he proceeded through the billing counter without paying. And they said, hey, you have to pay for this. He said, for my own sense gratification, I never pay. Only for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure or for the mission, I am willing to spend money. But this is for my own pleasure, for my own sense gratification, on my own account. So I don't believe in spending money. So they said, then you have to come to the court. I said, no problem, I will come to the court. So they took him to the court for not paying money for this t-shirt. And the judge said, what is the case? And the police officer said, he has been arrested because he is not paying for this t-shirt. And the judge looked at Jayanand Prabhu's face. It was so divine. He felt compassion. He said, why don't you pay? What is the problem? Don't you have money? He said, I have money, but I don't spend money for my own sense gratification. It is only for the mission that I am willing to spend. And the judge was so moved with his sincerity. The judge looked at the police officer and said, why don't you pay? He is such a sincere soul. Let us leave him. Because that sincerity with which he said this, that I do not do anything for my own enjoyment. Whatever I do is only for service. It came with so much of sincerity, realization and depth that it moved the heart of the judge. And in fact, in his later years, he developed cancer. And so his parents had arranged for a lot of money, several thousand dollars, to pay for his cancer treatment. Without telling anyone, he just transferred that money to the book fund and didn't use it for his treatment. And then some other devotees came to know about this, so they decided to pay and arrange for some treatment. And they admitted him in a very, very posh hospital. Very good hospital. So some devotees went to visit him. And as they entered into the cabin, they saw that the room was very posh, very sophisticated. And they were thinking that how is Jayananda Prabhu staying in such a posh place? And then they came near the bed. And on the bed was the picture of Srila Prabhupada with a garland and some flowers. And the devotee were very bewildered that where is the patient who is admitted? And they looked around and Jayananda Prabhu was lying down on the ground at a distance near the sink. And he said, I am here. I said, you are the patient, you are supposed to be on this bed. He said, this is such a fantastic, opulent facility. How can I enjoy it? This is only meant for someone like Srila Prabhupada. I am only a servant and I should be here. This is the right place for me. So he was practically on his deathbed. But because this was the mood and it was so natural for him, therefore Srila Prabhupada glorified him. And he made it a rule after his departure that his disappearance day festival should be celebrated. And in all Rathyatra carts, whenever Rathyatra is conducted, his picture is kept. And this is an example which all of us can be inspired by. And there are so many such examples of devotees, present and past, who have demonstrated this same mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. And this is the example which is shown by Bharat Maharaj. Given all the facility to enjoy, given all the facility by which he could take over the position of Lord Ram, but rather he is willing to sacrifice and see Ram enjoy. And that is the pleasure for all the devotees. So tomorrow the devotees will make so many fantastic arrangements for the pleasure of their lordships. Right? We don't see anyone themselves wearing garlands and various kinds of ornaments and turban and all these, you know, jewelries all around. But the devotees, they dress their lordships with so much of love and devotion. Because by doing that, we feel pacified, we feel satisfied. The devotee experiences pleasure in giving pleasure to the Lord. So Krishna says in Gita, Yad garoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi, dadasi, yad tapasyasi kaunteya, Tat Kurushva Madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever charity you give away, whatever austerities you perform, do it as an offering for Krishna. You have the facility to enjoy, but rather than enjoying, offer it to Krishna. And then after offering to Krishna, then Krishna mercifully gives everything back, and that becomes prasad. Like in 1976, Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and they were celebrating the 10 years of inception of ISKCON. And they had made a big, huge cake. And Srila Prabhupada was requested to cut this cake. And Prabhupada, as he was about to cut this cake, he remarked, "Just see how merciful Krishna is. We are offering this to Krishna, our master, and he is offering everything back to us so that we can enjoy. Just see how we are enjoying as servants." So one of the disciples remarked, "So Srila Prabhupada, we can see that the servants are enjoying as much as the master." And Prabhupada said, "No, the servant enjoys more than the master. Because master takes only this much and then leaves remaining, and all the remaining is taken by the servants. And therefore, simply by satisfying Krishna, we are getting the facility. Not only all our demands and desires are fulfilled, but the soul is fully pacified and satisfied. Therefore, festival means that we will offer abhishek, we will offer milk, yogurt, honey, all this on the deities of Sita, Ram, Lakshman. And by seeing this abhisheka, we become satisfied, seeing how their lordships are enjoying. That is the mood of Bharat, to see how the Lord is enjoying. And to see the Lord suffering, he was going through the same suffering condition. And that is the mood of a devotee. And therefore, real success in life is offering pranair, arthair, dhiya, vacha, offering everything to Krishna. Like there is a story Satsurup Maharaj quotes, that in the initial days, there was an invitation for Srila Prabhupada from a rock group in a rock show. So Prabhupada entered into the rock show arena, and there he saw that on the stage, people were dressed up as bananas. They were huge yellow dresses, and they were dancing. And Prabhupada asked, "What is this going on?" And they said, "This is banana dance." I said, "What does it mean?" And they said that they found out that if you put fire under the banana skin and inhale the smoke, it has the same effect as LSD. So they are celebrating this because it's a cheap alternative for LSD. So to celebrate this, they are having this banana dance. And Prabhupada started laughing that in India, I have taken so many bananas, and I know banana has so many uses, but I never knew this use of banana. And this I am learning of only after coming here. And then Prabhupada did kirtan, and they had a nice time with kirtan, and then Prabhupada returned back. And when Prabhupada returned back to his center, one of the devotees came forward and said, "Srila Prabhupada, there is an offer from the hippies. They want to offer one crate of bananas every day to our Jagannath. On a condition, they want the peels back. Should we accept it?" So Prabhupada started laughing. And he said, "When I came to America, I never imagined such unique scenarios which will come forth." And Prabhupada said, "Okay, at least they have developed the mood to give something to Krishna. They are willing to offer something to Krishna. And that mood is very positive. That is very good. So if they continue to offer things to Krishna, gradually they will become purified. And therefore let us accept it." And that is the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. When rather than enjoying things on our own, we begin the process of offering our money, our resources, our energy, our life force, our time, all these for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is the mood in which we should approach this wonderful festival of Sri Rama Navami. And tomorrow I will be discussing from the Aranyakanda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Shri Radha Gokulanand Ji Ki. And in this Aranyakanda, we will see the example of an attitude which is exact opposite of the attitude demonstrated by Bharat. So Bharat Maharaj's attitude is that of facilitating Lord Ram's enjoyment, not accepting any enjoyment on his own personal account, but providing for Lord Ram to enjoy. And exactly opposite to this is the attitude of Ravan. That rather than facilitating the Lord's enjoyment, he is trying to snatch Sita away from Lord Ram for his own enjoyment. So these are totally opposite mentalities. Service versus enjoyment. And this is the beginning of Aranyakanda. And in the Aranyakanda and Kishkindha Kanda, we will see how Lord Ram goes through this experience of being separated from Sita Devi because of the influence of this demon Rakshasa Ravana. And how Lord Ram, along with his associates, begins his journey, his mission of finding Sita back. And that we shall discuss tomorrow morning. Thank you all very much for your patient hearing. Thank you for coming here. So please make sure that you are here for tomorrow's festival at any point of time for the darshan of Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji, and also participating in the Abhisheka ceremony and Katha and Kirtan glorifying Lord Ram. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanumanji ki Jai. Sita Ram Naomi Mahamahotsav ki Jai. Janitai Gaut Primanande. Jai.